today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
So, Pony, are you like monitoring my thing every day still?
I'm not watching it creepily, but, you know, occasionally if I have to mess with stuff, sure.
Yes.
So you get capability to mess with it.
He knows when you're on the hub all day long.
Well, let's do that for Rob, too, maybe. I mean, although
Rob's heading back next week, so no problem.
Oh, Rob's back. You're back to work?
He'll be in studio.
To celebrate the spike, I'll be in studio.
They ought to rename next door, dude. Does anyone know it? Does anyone know a? Does anyone know a? Does anyone know a? Does anyone know a? The land of the lazy.
And Mike, there's
you
a sunset.
Internet, you lazy fat.
There's a set tab on that. Has anybody seen my? I got a couple of thumbs down on next door. I might have said this. I don't know, but does anyone know a good source for firewood? And I wrote trees.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Happy Monday. Before we get into the body of the show, let me throw out a thank you to my bride, who did something for me that might seem very mundane, very boring, very vanilla, but I have to share it because I am grateful and I wanted to do it publicly, although I've also done it privately. So yesterday, I was out doing what I do, which is hitting that little egg, which is my number one activity. And it was a later time than normally. Normally, I'm up at about 7:38 o'clock in the morning. Super early down here. Didn't get it because they're here. So no longer do we get to play when we want to play.
And
so
when you say
all the people that get the trophy, the people that want the trophy, come down.
Okay.
Everybody's here. The people that literally will go back to Thanksgiving, come back. Go back, come back, come back. Cold, hot, cold, hot. Oh, go, 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 go. Too hot to be down. F you. Anyway, sorry. That's really top of mind. We'll get to that later.
Is it too hot to wear a mask?
Nope.
Are you? But you're technically not a snowbird yourself, right?
No. I'm a resident.
You're a COVID bird. You leave.
I'm a COVID. I was a COVID bird.
Yeah,
that's a great name. I'm a COVID bird.
Look at the trees.
That's what you would call it. But I get out of Dodge for, you know, sometimes if I can. So let me tell you. I'll give you an example. Play yesterday. They were going. This other group subset that I play with were exchanging dollars upstairs. And said, "Are you coming up?" And I think I looked at one of the guys. I am well known enough now. At Cocoonville, where he said, "Are you coming up?" And I went, "Oh, okay, all right." Here's the I didn't even acknowledge it. It's like, no, go breathe, go breathe, go in with the football people, you know,
go pick.
So, do they meet? Is it like a little tavern where they meet in, or where do they meet inside?
Little,
what's it like?
Yeah, it's called. Hey, Rob. No, I'm not going to say the name. But,
COVID Tavern.
It's called Droplets.
COVID Tavern. COVID tab, Droplets.
That would be a great name of a hotel bar, wouldn't it? When they always have like a name that's sort of like a thematic name.
Don't poop, welcome Linus. To Droplets. That's a snip. That's a poop sniff.
No pooping.
Linus.
That looks like he's...
Your
no,
corner.
He pooped this morning already. He's like, excited. Okay. He likes the cold weather.
Where can
he's
look?
Got something in that carpet he digs.
Yeah, he's looking that's for snacky snacks.
Yeah. Well, that's where I had an accident.
So, I bet you have over the years. You've been in that house long enough.
Long
that's
enough.
That's probably a spooge on it.
What you got mistimed incidents.
General incontinence.
Yes. Remember him from World War II?
So here it is. I come rolling in. A couple of weeks ago, we have a storage. We got storage because we had too much stuff in the garage.
Yeah.
And we got this amazing storage deal. For like $35 a month down the street.
Worth
for
it.
For basically a room. That's the racket, though. If you ask her if you ever want to do your entrepreneurship, if you find the opportunity, I will go in on it with you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Storage REITs like 5 years ago, they were massive.
Massive. It's, storage works.
Yeah.
But everybody's doing it now because it makes money. So anyway, back to this. I come pulling in and I go, wow. And my bride has completely and totally cleaned and organized every inch of the garage. It is sparkling. She has set up a golf station for me. She has moved ladders.
Lucky
She's
man.
Moved trash buckets. And it was just a really cool. And Carla, if you're listening, I have to tell you that is much appreciated. A lot of things are much appreciated with you. You jumping back into that workforce.
Jump,
taking that amazing pressure off of me. I truly appreciate that. It was just really cool to see
and
that.
Don't and forget, it Mike, made, my she day. Manages to look stunning every day.
She does manage to look stunning. She's very happy. And, you know, I'm glad she found this place to work with this wonderful lady she's working with. And everything's going quite well for her in the early stages. If you come down on a vacation when things get back to normal, look her up and she'll give you a pampering facial, perhaps.
That'd be great.
But anywho,
and if we do come to visit, do we get to stay in the house or do we stay in the storage unit?
Yeah, what's the story there?
You guys would stay in the house because I got a place for you.
Yeah, get tested first.
But any guests that come down now, I got places for you. That's the way it goes. So I'm very happy.
I'm jealous of you having a storage unit. That is such a luxury to be able to get that much crap out of the house.
Here's more of a luxury. It is literally out of my community, maybe a quarter mile down the street.
Wow, ground level?
No, that's the problem.
That's where they get heavy stuff.
I took the boxes of books.
Yeah.
By the way, boxes if you move anything,
I don't need to read here.
If you Oscar.
Yes.
They've been read.
Oh, you should donate them to the library.
No, I like to keep them. I like to hold on to them. I don't know
Florida,
why.
There are not a lot of call for libraries.
No reading going on down here.
Reading, no reading.
It's gonna be close.
Now this troubles me. Boxes of books are second only to boxes of records for sheer weight.
Yes.
So
weight,
is there an
dead weight of books? It killed me.
Is it an elevator? Is there an elevator?
I did the records too.
Is there an elevator?
There is an elevator.
Okay, that helps.
It's the third floor. It's a third. That's the top floor. It's a third floor storage unit. And I swear to God, I think I know why she got it for $35 a month, because it's left, then right, then right, then left, yeah, then right, then left, then left, and then right.
But the beauty is, Mike, of the third floor unit is you get the view.
And then also, you have the wobbly hand truck. You know,
it's like, Mike,
think 10 years from now when the Storage Wars guys could break into your storage unit and they're like, oh, my God.
James Patterson?
I'm a bid on this guy.
That's right. Books.
Let's start the bidding.
You know $5. You ready for the sad thing? You ready for what's really sad from my double hips that I had years ago? You know, how many canes did this guy need?
Oh, no, you ran into a lot of them, did you?
That's what they said. Yes. I was a cane hoarder. I wanted one when I was recovering from my first hip surgery. I wanted one everywhere I went. And, you know, we held on to that. If that's not a reminder that you're old, you look at that.
Oh, saving it for later.
Trip sent me a real cool one, I think.
Didn't you have like a purple one?
Yeah, I think I had a purple one. I had a Herman. That was Herman Cain. Yeah. God rest his soul. That was Herman Cain. Yeah.
He's the super spreader storage Cain. Locker in the sky.
Yes, yeah, he's in a refrigerated locker.
Is that too soon?
Might be too soon.
So it was. It's just a solid, and it diminished for a short period of time the election anxiety, which began to really in earnest. I mean, the really like last minute anxiety creep in. I can't tear myself away from watching. It's terrifying because there's so many different scenarios they're talking about.
When you talk about terror, and I got to ask Oscar about this because we kind of feel it out here in the suburbs, but they did a story on the news this morning, the local news. I want to play you about 45 seconds of it about preparations that are being made for Election Day. Now, this is Election Day. This is not some sort of terrorist attack we're preparing for. This is something that's happened every 4 years since the founding of our nation. And this is what's going on, Mike. Maybe it's a good thing you're not in the District of Columbia.
So just like we saw back in June and July, we're going to see that very tall 7-foot fencing going up all the way from the White House complex down 17th Street around Constitution Avenue, surrounding the ellipse in a sort of a fortress like stance around the White House. We've also heard reports that the National Guard has troops on standby to augment D.C. police if indeed they are called in to do so. And downtown D.C., many of the businesses down there, it just looks like a plywood fortress. And throughout parts of D.C., we've seen businesses preparing.
All right. I can't do it. Local reporters, national reporters, you have a microphone. Yeah. You have a microphone. Yeah. You can speak like I am right now. What is the necessity of raising that shrill, I'm in a panic tone?
Well, it makes the story more exciting, Mike.
That's not why they do it, Rob. They do it because they're excited to be on television. That's why.
That's true.
Show me a person that talks like that, and I'll show you an inexperienced person. I mean, there are great reporters who are report on the most tense thing in the world who can do so.
You're right.
At a respectable tone. And then you get the
plywood floors.
I hate it. I hate it. And I don't know why it's you know what? I wish I could go back to American University and teach a broadcast journalism delivery class.
Yeah.
Just where, you know, no matter the circumstances, if you keep yourself collected and you're not at this, it looks like a plywood fort. That's the tone that people, Mike, and it drives me nuts.
You're not
it
taking really direction does. From a haircut.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But Oscar, if we take the Melanie Olnick, here we go.
How's that?
Maybe you can give us a little more information about the plywood.
Yeah.
What do you want to know, Oscar?
Well, I wanted to know what type of plywood it was and how much you're using.
Well, look, they've told you all the plywood. I said that it was a plywood fortress, and you don't need to know any more information. And I thought that.
Well, why don't you describe it a little bit more for us?
Yeah,
Mike?
Why don't you ask some questions, look, Herb?
You're there. You're there, and I'm here. And, you know, if you've got any questions that you'd like. Do you have a question you'd like to ask?
Sure.
Them about the plot. Why are they boarding up the stores?
Why are they boarding up the stores? It's in the face. That's it. Why are they boarding up the Herb Welch? That was timely. Very good. I enjoyed that. That
Oscar,
moments like that diminish my anxiety. Moments like that help.
The panicked reporter out of it.
Yes.
What is the mood you're feeling in the city? Because, I mean, if it's 1/10 of what they're projecting, it's got to be something palpable.
I got to tell you, if you still commute into the city, or you've been even that, like, I would say Glover Park, Georgetown, still consider the city, but not downtown.
Right.
Downtown is completely boarded up. I'm desensitized to it. There's a fortress around all the buildings downtown that you can't even get to the front of the building unless you walk through a plywood wall.
Wow.
And then as I was pulling up today.
Is this, are there any reports or are there any journalists?
Yes.
Or are there any newspaper people? Or are there anybody, is anybody online that cares to discuss the reality of why they're doing this?
Absolutely.
Are they doing this because?
Have they
said it?
Yes. This is a preemptive move on the off chance that there is unrest after the election results come out.
But who are they expecting
the unrest from? Are they expecting the unrest,
Mike, they're not
if the president is reelected?
They're not dumb enough to tell you why or how.
Why? Yeah.
But that's what it really is.
Yes, that's what it is.
If we cut through the racist crap, what they're really doing.
They're so marvelously vague. What they're saying is that reports have been that they have been filed for permits for what they're calling First Amendment demonstrations.
So
that's what they're saying.
The CVS across the street. First time I've seen it boarded up
Am I making
robbed.
An assumption? Listen,
that's right.
Are they? Is this for one team or the other? Because you have expressions of violence.
I have read articles that it's about both team, both extremes.
Right.
Just
because
in case.
When you have people ramming cars on a highway.
Yeah, this isn't just about First Amendment rights. This is both sides,
so
both extremes.
The people that are mad that Trump lost or the people that are mad that Biden lost.
Right. And God willing, none of that comes to fruition and there's no violence and we move on with our lives.
Or it might be like a Detroit sports victory where maybe they'll get excited that their team won and they'll burn the city down because you never know how people are going to react.
I can't be that cavalier about it, Rob. It's a big deal here, and yes, is there
it's
a sense of tension?
It's a big deal on what we've become.
Yeah, is there
it
a sense?
It is. It's huge.
A sense of tension, absolutely. I visited Mama Santana yesterday, and she said, "How's downtown look?" I said, "Do you remember when we used to go to Bolivia when we were younger?" And I always ask, "Why are all these stores boarded up?" And she said, "It feels like that. The unrest in politics that is in Latin America for a third world country who knows what type of politics they just went through now. I can't decipher that. That unrest is like what we're dealing with right now as far as people worried about what will happen. And it is sad. It is a sad state of affairs. This is why we continue to beat that drum even the day before the election, that you must vote. You must have your voice heard. You must get out and do that. It is so easy. For those of you that on either side, especially Biden's, if you think, you know, it's tight, do your part to not make it tight. Go and vote. Go and vote.
Well, I totally agree with that. And at the same time, I think that that I probably, as an American citizen, took for granted the years and years and years of peaceful elections.
Yeah.
Where did Rob go?
He just got voted out of the show, Mike.
Rob left the show.
Be back in just a few minutes.
I think that that I took for granted how many years we would have an election night. And you would see it, and you're, you know, there would be people happy and people disappointed, but it wasn't this violent nastiness that we have everywhere. It's crazy.
And imagine if you're a small business owner, and I'm not talking about us here. I'm saying, and you're on the first floor. We're on the fourth floor of a building, on both locations. But if you're on the first floor, there's an independent cafe downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think in the middle of a pandemic, they have this slush fund or emergency budget to be like, oh, now we got to fortify our little cafe?
No, and it's sad. I mean, when the people that I've heard on the news are equating this to preparations for a hurricane.
Yes.
And it's just sad that that has to be the way it is. And I think no matter what the result of the election, I hope that there is a peaceful reaction no matter what. And it's where we've become. We're so divided and it's so passionate. Listen, I am going to tell, I know I live in an older area and I'm down here. But I'll use an example. This is one of the reddest counties in the state of Florida that I live in. I hang out and interact on almost a daily basis with the most passionate Trump supporters you're ever going to meet.
How do you do it?
I hang out with them because I hang out with them and I joke about it and we do it peacefully.
Yeah.
They know where I stand.
That's what's
key. I know where they stand.
Peaceful.
What I do, and this is a tip for somebody that might want to do this. Where I've gotten in trouble is when I don't know people and I've been at fault and I regret it. I regret it on a almost on a regular basis. It doesn't do any good. It didn't do anything but maybe just satisfy a little ego on my part. So I wouldn't have done it if I had a chance to do it again. I really, really wouldn't. But as far as individuals that I see, I do it with humor and I shut down usually right away a heavy discussion. Mm-hmm. If it gets heavy, I try to be as controlled and reasonable as I can and say, well, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. But mostly I joke. I joke about it. And even with the joking, on Friday, I left my little group early and came over here. And there were a lot of people giving me a hard time. As we get closer, as I knew it would happen, people are giving me more of a hard time. And this fellow who's a Trump supporter said, so you left pretty early the other day. I said, I had a bad foot. I shot a bad score and I wasn't going to collect any money. So I got out of Dodge. Said, oh, okay. So he understood that. But they thought that maybe I'm running from the situation. So I think that what I would tell people is if you can do it, if you have people with a sense of humor, stand your ground and do so in a funny way. It doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, those people out on the highway in Texas slamming into cars, that's scary stuff, man. And shutting down highways on the Garden State Parkway, or maybe it was the New Jersey Turnpike, I'm not sure, couple of bridges, you know, it's a strange place where we are.
I think
and
that
where we will end up, I don't know.
Don't you hope that Americans see that and they like there's a fine line? And I know that we say that every time we see something crazy, but the Mad Max side where you're like, okay, enough is enough. And then you see the president on his side not denouncing it, saying
you wonder, you say to yourself, what has happened? What has happened? Well, what's happened is this is not a situation where we can't resolve it as a nation.
And we have to.
I really think that if we are able, you know, it's not going to change. If we have the status quo, it's going to continue. And it scares me. And, I don't even have a fallback plan. What I'm going to do is I think I'm going to turn the news off. I think I'm going to ignore it. I'm just going to, and I think a lot of people will, and then we're done. I think, because then we've seeded, to the side that was louder and more obnoxious. We've done that, you know.
And still hold on to hope.
More obnoxious, Mike. What are you talking about? That everybody wants to talk about looters and rioters. That's what everybody on one side seems to want to talk about. And I am saying in the areas where there have been riots and there have been looting, I think you have people that it would be easy to argue have been economically disenfranchised for generations. So if I'm a person that's growing up in a neighborhood without hope where I don't care about my behavior because you know what? I'm being given a raw deal from the minute I came out of the womb. And yeah, I'm in an area where there's crime. It's a different world. So you can't lump everybody in. I don't lump the people running people off the road in Texas to the same people that are reacting because of the pent-up anger that's been there. I'm not justifying it at all. I'm saying that that's where it happens. That's where it seems to go down. But every time I talk about those idiots that were on the road slamming into a car and trying to run a bus off the road, I get, well, what about the rioters and looters?
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to be a yin and a yang. Everything has to be an equivalency. And I don't buy into that it's an equivalency. I don't think when you got a $50,000 truck with a flag and you're running a car off the road, it's the same as when you're, in a horrible, horrible neighborhood and you have an opportunity to go down the street and you're so angry and it's just you're disenfranchised. It's a totally different socioeconic level. I'm not trying to justify the looters. I think lock up the rioters and the looters, absolutely. It's just you can't compare a person that's doing a political rally or waving a political flag with somebody that's probably coming out with a roll of toilet paper.
But aren't we on both sides generalizing that argument to say that we know exactly why certain people are doing what?
No, I'll tell you why I don't think we are, because it seems to me that when you're in the circumstances that precipitate the rioting are not political. They are police actions that where someone got shot or someone got killed, and that's what started. I mean, the George Floyd started this movement in America. But the initial reaction to George Floyd when people get prosecuted, comes from out of that. I don't know necessarily if those people are all waving Biden flags. Polls would show that they're not.
Maybe I'm looking through a different lens. The majority of the demonstrations were not riots or looting. They just weren't.
Right.
As far as the civil correct. Rights marches that went out throughout this country.
Small amount of the overall burning, looting, that type of thing.
So I just want to highlight that doesn't mean if you're marching that if there's a march that there isn't a riot, there is not a looting. There's not looting going on. I just want to make sure that we clarify that.
DC was the best example.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying that's what's said to me, and I find that offensive when you're talking about people going out and go woohoo and won't it be fun to get in the truck and go out on the highway because this person's going to, there's the bus.
Right.
I would imagine those people in that bus were scared out of their goddamn minds in that situation. It's just, where have we become? And that's why people are boarding up buildings because it's so crazy. But I'm here to say that down here, I've already kind of noodled it through. And I think everybody, listen, I don't care what side you're on. If you're a partisan, if this means a lot to you, you keep it together, folks. Keep it together. And I hate to say this, but I have to. No matter what the outcome, I'm talking to myself as much as anybody. Keep it together. It's why, look, if it doesn't go your way, it didn't go your way because not enough people voted for your team. And that's just the reality. It's what we have.
You've always said something that I think is really cool, is that one of the greatest things about our system is the peaceful transfer of power at the close of a president's administration. But it goes both ways. It has to also be the peaceful continuation of power because it's our system, and it may be flawed in ways, but it's what we've got, and it's the best that there is. and we need to stand by our system because that's, you know, that's what we've put in place.
And with that said, that doesn't
Sore loser.
That doesn't diminish anxiety. You're welcome to all the anxiety you want.
Yeah, help yourself. It's free. Don't cause nothing.
But do you anticipate any trouble in the nation's capital on election? And under what scenario would you think there would be trouble?
I hate to
put that pressure on you, but I am putting that pressure.
I think all bets are off. I got to be honest with you because it's the nation's capital. It's the capital of the free world.
Right.
If you're looking for press, if you're looking for...
All eyes are on it,
If you're looking for any type of attention, you would do that in front of the White House, whether you're celebrating a win for your team or you're upset about the outcome of the election. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they're staging for, the city in itself. Because
let's ask a young person here, Maddie Masiello. Maddie, what is your feeling about all of this that we're talking about in this lead up to one of the tensest elections of our time?
Well, for me, it's kind of hard, too, because you don't want to be angry. But at the same time, in 2016, like Hillary won the popular vote. Like it's the system itself sometimes that's upsetting. And when you have the president also saying, you know, threatening using the Supreme Court to win, when you have interference from other countries, you know, it's hard.
It's hard. It's a hard time, and it'll go down in the history books. Look, I don't know how history is going to judge this time, but I think I have a pretty decent idea with all of that. And but I will tell you the anthem from both sides. If you want to find common ground, you know what the common ground is? I think everybody is ready for this to be over.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Everybody.
You're here. And there will be a show on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
There will definitely be a show on Wednesday. And Rob Spiewak, I need you to gather tomorrow all the as many election stagers as you can possibly find for our election special tomorrow.
Yes.
Election
of course.
Day special on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Vote
it's a
2020.
Very special Mike O'Mara Show tomorrow where we will have
Yo voté 2020.
Decision
What's
2020.
That?
Yo voté 2020.
Is that Spanish?
Yes. I'm just giving all angles.
It's cute when he speaks Spanish, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
My mom and she's been driving people to against all COVID protocol to the polls. She's the Yo Voté snow dog. She'll take all these people in her Lexus to the polls. And I'm like, Mom, remember when you're not supposed to see anybody? Because they all have masks on. We roll down the windows. Good for her.
Yeah, roll down the windows. That helps.
I'm trying to find. I'm looking through all of my soundboards, and I know on one of them, I have my election music. I know I'm.
I remember
them.
It. Yeah.
I'm trying to find it right now. Oh, here it is. This is it. This is good. You'll like this. No, that's.
That sounds like fun.
You have to get the most electoral votes without going over, right?
Who's the winner? It's a new car.
Full stager. I like
Mike,
that.
How about this one? This is a good one.
This just in. Breaking news. That's very old, though.
It is, but it's
very,
a classic.
That's good for Herb.
It is good for Herb Welch.
Herb.
What do you want to know for?
You're at the White House. How many people are at the fence?
A bunch of them.
What are they saying?
Could you talk to them?
They're saying they're angry, Oscar. Listen, you're there, and you don't know what's going on. Do you think anybody remembers what we're referring to?
I do.
Absolutely, yes, of course.
I'm trying to find it. I can't. God, I try to find. There's too much stuff. I have like 50 soundboards.
I remember, but I remember when you got those news stagers. They were great.
Mike, will you keep an eye out for the, and you'll start seeing them this evening. You might have seen them a little bit yesterday in the Sunday morning shows for like Meet the Press, etc. The new sets, the new election sets they have set up.
Very exciting.
From a production standpoint, I always like seeing how they like really spice up or change around a current set they have to look like something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So keep an eye on that. You can spot them.
Well, Mike, this is a little more current. We've got it. Hold on, Rob. I've got it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Mike O'Mara Show Election Central. As of now, the polling is showing a very, very...
There you go.
I like that one. Is the map purple?
This is Brian Williams. What's shaping up to be a very interesting and busy evening. Thank you very much.
I can't wait for tomorrow's show when you run a stager and you say, Oscar, Florida, Florida, Florida.
This is the one that's kind of the mellow one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's it. I hope you enjoyed the 4 years, and now four more. Four more years.
Hey. Oh, no.
Four more years of this. Yes, sorry. It should be very fun. Yeah.
That's for the Mike Pence biography piece.
We go to Texas, where the Biden bus has been run into a ditch by a guy with a really big flag. Yeah, that's all. That's all I have. So that's it. What's the new recording? Let me see.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, that's the new Meet the Press theme.
Dun, 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 dun.
Thank you. Thank you. I guess we can. We can start the show.
You
now.
Want to start?
I
okay.
did too. That was a palate cleanser. Start
that was a good palate
cleanser.
Right?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again.
My name is James Bond. And members of your curious profession are few in number. You have been recognized. Let's say by one of your opposite numbers, who is also licensed to kill. Oh, that interesting car of yours. I too have a new toy, but considerably more practical.
Goldfinger.
You are looking at an industrial laser, which emits an extraordinary light not to be found in nature. It can project a spot on the moon, or at closer range, cut through solid metal. I will show you. This is gold, Mr. Bond.
Gold.
I think you've made your point, Goldfinger. Thank you for the demonstration. Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last. Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone. Do you want to do that? Are you ready to do that? I'm making you a deal. Do you want this deal?
I have sworn to put this man away with any and all legal means at my disposal, and I will do so.
Well, the Lord hates a coward. Do you know what a blood oath is, Mr. Ness?
Yes.
Good. Because you just took one.
Can I do something for you, Mr. Bond?
Just a drink. A martini, shaken, not stirred.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Thank you all so much for your continued support over these many years. We appreciate it. From Los Lunas, New Mexico, Jarvinsburg, North Carolina, Altoona, Iowa, Chance, Virginia, Prineville, Oregon, and I knew I'd screw it up. Dulakel, Nepal.
Exactly.
You have a place in Nepal? I think it's something about Mary. Yeah, I'm an architect.
Oh, did you design the Estadio Olimpico?
Anyway, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Harry's. Oh, I love my Harry's. Loved it just a few moments ago. I was skimming across my fat chin with my Harry's razor and loved, loved, loved it. They just came out with their sharpest blades ever, and unlike some other razor companies, they're not charging you more. Harry's new sharper blades are still as low as $2 each, and new U.S. customers can redeem a trial offer of Harry's new sharper blades by going to harrys.com/TMOS. These new blades are so sharp that in a study with guys shaving four times a week, They reported with their eighth shave, it was as smooth as their first.
I think that's a low estimate because I've used fantastic. Harry's blades for months. They're fantastic.
Yep, they're the best. Harry's owns a German factory, makes those great razor blades. They source their steel from Sweden and own the entire manufacturing process from R&D to the factory floor. And if anybody messes with Harry's, Goldfinger comes in with his laser and burns them up. It's very exciting. Our listeners can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. You'll get a five-blade razor featuring their new sharper blades, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, a travel cover to protect your blade when you're on the go. Just go to harrys.com/TMOS and redeem your trial offer today. Yeah, over the weekend, we lost Sean Connery. We'll have more on him news you may not need. 90 years young. But unfortunately, died in the Bahamas, not too far from here. And yeah, really hit me a little bit.
It surprised me.
When you've got a guy that even into his later years was such a macho movie man, you know what I mean? One of the real men of the movies. One of the guys, I was saying this to Carla, that was the personification of the term men want to be with him, guys want to be like him.
Yeah.
That was just
guys might want to be with him.
And guys, thank you for being politically correct.
If he just says please.
It was just, you know, really, really, really a bummer. If you want to see one of my saddest moments in the movies, one of the saddest death scenes is that Sean Connery death scene in The Untouchables, because his character is so tough, but such a decent, good guy.
Yeah.
And I'll miss Sean Connery, the only James Bond. As far as I'm concerned, the only real James
Bond. I think
as
time goes on, and if you try to watch a Roger Moore James Bond movie, it's not the same. He just can't pull it. For one thing, he always looked too old to be James Bond, even when he was young. I don't know how. It was just bad casting, I guess.
Daniel Craig is great, but Sean Connery will always be James Bond to me. I was a child, a small child, and I had the Corgi, Matchbox. I believe it was the Corgi Aston Martin that had the push button, plastic push buttons on it, that had the plastic little razor blades that came out of the tire, had the button that you pushed where the metal bulletproof shield went up, and had the plastic button that you press where the machine guns came out.
An amazingly advanced toy James for the Bond. Day. It was great. I think that the reason...
I got it on my 18th birthday. No, I'm
James Bond, I think the actual character that I sort of associate with James Bond, and I agree, I like Daniel Craig a lot, but like if you go back to Dr. No and Goldfinger, James Bond best exists in that time frame of history because I don't see the character really working in modern times as well, and that's why I think I like the Sean Connery iteration.
Oh my God, I watched over the weekend, we watched Michael and I watched Goldfinger. We started to watch From Russia with Love, but it sucked. I didn't like From Russia with Love.
Goldfinger is the best Bond film by far.
Goldfinger is the best Bond film, but still, the rampant sexism
in the
James Bond franchise, which is just from frame one to the end of the movie, it really is. But really, just and if you look at From Russia with Love, the character in Austin Powers, the lady, the tough lady, the head doctor. It's just the whole Sean Connery deal.
Did you all mention The Hunt for Red October?
Oh, another great one. I watched that a bunch too.
Yeah.
And also Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That's the one with him, I believe, the third Indiana Jones movie. He brought a lot of a weightiness to the movie because he's such a great actor
That's a great word. Yeah, the weightiness of it because he just, you know, when he's the commander of the Red October, that is truly, it's just, you know what a decent, tough guy he is. It's hard to describe that kind of presence. There isn't a lot of it over the decades. You can't get a guy that has that kind of movie presence that I think Gene Hackman in his own way has that kind of, takes over the screen. George Clooney's a great actor. Brad Pitt, as he's getting older, I think brings a little of that in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. Brad Pitt, when he's out there at the TV ranch, beating the crap out of the guy that won't change his tire.
It seems to be rarer and rarer anymore. And I think that you see it because I know you, you know, you made your early bread and butter doing impressions. Harder to do impressions nowadays because the characters that people play and the actors that we see on
there just aren't enough chances to do it. That's what
Right, exactly.
Now, I should mention the TV actors, but also there's some on TV like that have that kind of heaviness, you know, and, you know, the man's man. James Corden is a great example. I'm just kidding.
A sweet clip of
Rob Frozen now.
Is well, like Rob you said, Mike, women want to be like him.
Rob, what's happening to your house? Rob, what's your what's happening with your house today? No, your sound's gone.
I see you. I have no idea. It's awful. Okay, now let me reboot. I'll be right back.
What?
Because I see you guys fine.
Okay, it's his video. It's his latency to us, Mike, is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm getting the same latency. But we can hear you, Rob.
Let's
just
take
can't
a break.
See you very well.
And we will figure this out and we will come back
with that's
more
fun
because we have a lot to talk about. I want to tell you about Halloween in the hood and why people suck when we come back right here on the Mike Gobera Show, everybody.
Excuse me, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
I'm Dr. Fitness Van Helsing, professor of proctology and other related tendencies.
Drop your shorts and bend over, Mr. Babar.
I can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking my head up a bull's ass, but I'd rather take a butcher's word for it.
Using the whole fist on.
What I think we should do is do a prostate exam.
Let's go, Todd.
Oh, no.
Moon River.
I have to go visit the jelly drawer. Yeah, but he was a dentist.
I'm ready.
When you're ready to do your holiday shopping and you've analyzed all your options, look no further than the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Walmart, Target, and even Zappos have got everything you're searching for. You can slip in and slide out with something for everyone on your list. And that's the bottom line.
Oh, my God.
Mark.
Man's clever.
He is. Oh, and fast.
He's working his way to getting a Christmas present. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by KiwiCo. The holidays may look a little different this year, but one fact remains. Kids still want stuff.
Stuff!
If you think it's impossible to get your kid, grandchild, niece, nephew, or little cousin to put down that cell phone or video game and do something that's good for their brain, you're wrong. Let's talk about KiwiCo. KiwiCo delivers hands-on science and art projects for kids of all ages. It makes them think. With KiwiCo, kids can engineer a walking robot, design a paint pendulum, conduct bubbling chemistry experiments, and more, all from the comfort of their home. Plus, there's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel anytime. I still love that KiwiCo got my son interested in astronomy. Unbelievable, and he loved it. KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month of free shipping on any crate. You can use the code TMOS at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code TMOS. All right. We took a short break there. To check Rob's connectivity. And during that discussion, sometimes when you're doing these internet broadcasts that you and everybody's from their own home, we call it the pipe. Mm-hmm. And there might be more than one person on line in the house that can actually affect connectivity. It happens. It happens. Happened to me all the time. So as we're having the discussion with Rob, right before we came back on the air, because Rob, so far, his connectivity is fine. Rob said to us, the only outlier is that I recently connected an internet radio weather station to my system. And hold on. Let me finish and then you can explain before you start defending. I have to say, he said an internet weather station. And I said, if there is one human being who would be less in need of an internet weather station, it would be Rob Spiewak. The last time I checked, you weren't planning on taking your Piper Cub up to Hagerstown for lunch. What the hell? What, you have an internet
I need to over-explain, or I under-explain to begin with. What it is I needed an alarm clock, okay, for my nightstand. Because the one that I had was a piece of crap to begin with 10 years ago. The brand of it was Magnasonic. Not Panasonic, not Magnavox, Magnasonic. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. But I loved it because it projected the time on the ceiling. And I love this feature because if you wake up in the middle of the night, and as I get older, I'm doing this more and more because you have to attend to things, I can look up and see what time it is and not have to look and see what's on the clock.
Magnasonic.
That's the brand. So
Magnasonic.
My mom had a weather station slash clock slash, it does everything that she really liked. I'm finding the brand right now. It's LaCrosse.
On the ceiling.
So I went on to the Walmart website, and I found me a LaCrosse alarm clock that projects the time on the ceiling. But if you normally have one that does the outside temperature, it normally comes with like a sensor that you put a battery
outside
in.
Outside temperature.
And you put it on the... Like, you know, mount it on your deck or whatever. So this one, this Magnasonic.
Magnasonic. Sorry.
So this one S. actually is a Wi-Fi connection that it picks
Wi-Fi.
Up. Picks up your network, and then it connects to the network. LaCrosse website network.
Yeah.
Network.
Network. Magnasonic.
And then it tells you the temperature outside, and you don't have to have a sensor outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a tremendous pain in the ass to get it to find my Wi-Fi network, and I had to call Comcast and say, I'm on a 5.0 internet or a Wi-Fi system, and this requires 2.4.
Breathe, Rob, breathe. I'm trying to do stick here. When you do your 40-minute run-on sentences, it's hard for me to say, cable guy.
Well, it was impossible to get it on my network.
Network.
Because my Wi-Fi was 5.0.
5.0.
And I needed, Oscar, 2.4.
All righty. All right.
So they split it into two different Wi-Fis in my house.
All right. Yes, okay. Yes.
Okay. And enough. I just wanted it to, you know, right. What about the old days? You just wind
you
up a clock.
You said to us when we were talking about connectivity, you said it was a weather station.
And but so it is a weather station. Like, it predicts the weather.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, like something that's outside.
I didn't picture like, all these antennae. little windsock on top of his house, you know, that's like, Carrie, like Rob's going into, hello, Howard Bernstein. It's Rob Spiewak. I'm out here in Leesburg. Wanted to check in with you.
It's like somehow he wiggled his way into the Channel 7 weather station, and they're going to pay him like 10 bucks a month to have this little station.
Rob Spiewak, if Rob roof. Had gone into TV instead of radio, Rob would have been a perfect Willard. Same personality. Same look. It would have been. Yeah. He would. By the way, Willard Scott, long since gone. Willard Scott was the Today Show weatherman for years
and years. Yes,
a lot
very
of people
nice.
In America don't remember Willard. I remember Willard.
That's sad.
He sold jams, right?
Smucker's Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Well, was the longtime sponsor of the weather on the Today Show. And he'd do the. They don't. Do they do the 100-year-old birthdays anymore? Does Al Roker
I don't think
do
they
that?
Do.
I think COVID killed that bit.
No, Roker killed it. Of course he did.
No, COVID. Killed it anyway. COVID.
COVID.
Al COVID.
Well, they're just more of them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's terrible. That's very harsh. That's
but also,
very,
you know, Willard
if you
created.
Don't laugh, you cry, Mike.
Willard created the character of Ronald McDonald as well, and he was Bozo in Washington D.C. He's a storied broadcaster.
We used to have. We were doing, I think, a broadcast at Disney, and Willard came on the show. And Willard did just a lot of shtick, and he was super nice and a very nice man. Very, very nice man. And then retired to Sanibel, Florida, where I think he passed away. Didn't Willard pass a few years ago?
I thought he's still around, no?
No,
is Willard
think so.
Still alive?
I'll find out. Let me
hey,
check
Mr.
the...
Hey, Mr. Death, how do you know, how do you like practically have, you know, you actually have a moment of lust when somebody loses it, but you don't remember when they die.
Well, it's hard to, for TV, especially TV anchors, it's tough for me to even quantify them gone because you're so used to seeing them on. I know he's not on the Today Show and he has been for a while, but I just figured that they stopped doing it.
I think he might have died.
I thought he had, but according to Wikipedia, he is alive and 86 years old.
So sorry, Willard. I'm so sorry. Willard's just not on the magic box anymore.
That's right.
I'm really, really embarrassed.
He stopped being
That's
active
terrible.
In 2015.
Willard is not. Willard, what's that? 2015?
He stopped being active in 2015. So yeah. He's been out of the public
Can't
eye for 5 years. It's understood.
And how also, old is Willard?
86.
He was born in Alexandria, Virginia. I did not know that.
Wow. And did a radio show, famous in radio history, The Joy Boys.
Oh, yeah. Very, very popular.
Ed Walker from Ed Walker passed away, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude Walker is still alive.
Dude Walker is alive, yes. Thank you, Oscar.
Dude Walker is still alive.
Yeah, still alive. You know, it's funny, as we get older, I wonder if people are like, eh,
we forget
is Mike O'Mara still alive? Yes, I am!
Every time we run Best Of, that's the question.
Just worry about finding out if Ed Walker's alive.
Ed Walker died in 2015.
Oh,
that's right. October 26th of 2015.
Damn. Right.
And didn't he speak to your class at AU at one point,
no.
Ed Walker?
What happened was the NPR, Willard, I'm sorry, Ed Walker had a show on NPR, and one of my American University broadcast classes went over to NPR to watch how the news operation ran, and we watched Ed Walker through the glass running his show. And a man that was visually challenged had been, I think, had a life of blindness. He did not see for years and years. And he did the show, the radio show, by touch and records and playing everything. I thought it was amazing to watch. He was a talented guy. Very, very talented guy. Ed Walker had that kind of voice.
Great voice.
Not like Herb. Not like Herb.
No, no, but, not very different than Herb.
Herb was more, oh, yeah, huh? I know. Yeah. But anyway, Willard, sorry for saying you were dead. I am very, very sorry about that.
You said you meant it with all, respect. You meant it, though.
I did. I did. Well, but it gets back to, so your weather station is actually just a fancy alarm clock.
Pretty much. That hinks up to a real weather station and transmits the information via Wi-Fi to my clock.
So that's why you need the internet connectivity.
Yeah, but I unplugged it, so it should not be affecting us now.
You don't wake up in the morning. You don't wake up in the morning and go, Carrie, I would wear an extra layer today because the barometric pressure is really, really tough.
And the dew point's at 83%.
And that's all I use except for that big thing with three spinning balls and the electricity on my deck. Other than that, I just use that for the weather.
All right. When we come back, I'll tell you all about Halloween. But I also want to talk about this kind of connectivity. And I don't know whether it's election or what, or whether the creatures are out there doing stuff. I'm getting a bad vibe about Rob's got it. I've got it a little bit down here watching streaming video at night. Very strange. I want to know if anybody in our audience is experiencing that. We'll take a break. Come back with more on The Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, friends. Jeff Goldblum here. How are you? Yeah, you're great. I know you are. You're looking at me like that. Listen, I love to listen to The Mike O'Mara Show on my Alexa, but I'm scared of it. Yeah, I'm scared. It makes me nervous. It's like it's watching me. But really, if you're not as scared as I am, well, first of all, congratulations to you. And tell Alexa to play The Mike O'Mara Show. And Bob's your uncle. Still terrified. Jeff Goldblum checking out.
Thanks, Jeff. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Freshly. We've all spent a lot of time at home in the past few months, a lot. Well, now, if you're like me, you're plenty tired of cooking all around the clock. Enough already. How about Freshly? Yum, 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 yum. Mm. Ready to go. Pop it in the microwave. You are set to go. Freshly understands that food needs to be delicious, healthy, and simple. Right? Am I right about that? Right. With Freshly, you can avoid the grocery store and enjoy fully prepared dinners delivered fresh, not frozen, right to your door. Freshly's chefs and nutritionists do all the hard work. All you do is heat for 3 minutes and dinner is done. Oscar lives on them. Got a fridge full of
people. Everybody knocks me for not having an oven. I don't need one when I have Freshly. I got a microwave. In less than 3 minutes, I've got a gourmet meal sitting there waiting for me. I love it.
Just choose a plan that works for you. Take a break from all that cooking. Whether you crave comfort foods, feel better foods, or something from your personal home bistro, Freshly has what you want every time. You're going to love Freshly. Join the almost 1.5 million satisfied Freshly customers and skip the shopping, the prepping, the cooking, and the cleanup. Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off their first two orders at Freshly.com/TMOS. Don't wait. That's Freshly.com/TMOS. Yes, streaming video. Trying to watch this show, Queen's Gambit, which we will or will not get to today. But it's been quitting on me at night, and then I'll get up in the morning, and I've got great connectivity, And then Rob's having problems today. Should I be paranoid? Is there some national hacking going on?
I hate that you've played into this this sort of sinister side of it. That could it be election related? Could it be? I hadn't even thought of that. But
you
I
just
mean,
broke up on me then. Yeah. Now, is it? Could it be election related? In Leesburg?
You've planted the seed of doubt.
Mike, I can give you some context. Yes. I feel like there's a couple things at play. One, there is a lot to be said about our internet providers really being taxed on a higher level than they ever have, even could have predicted this year, especially with the pandemic and everybody working from home. Is Zoom built for the type of really back and forth and volume that you have every day from the business world and the school world? Are they scaling up fast enough? Can they? I would say that they've done a pretty damn good job of keeping it stable. It's done wonders, right? We had a week when we switched to Skype for a little bit, but then we could switch to Zoom. No big deal.
Right.
Might go back to Skype. Are you okay? Or are you going to throw up?
No. What it is for me, I'm sorry, I just took a chug of Red Bull and I was about to burp, but I wanted to stop myself. So it was a
okay.
flight.
What I
want to highlight is, unless you have a network administrator, someone in your home or something you're willing to bring to your home to govern exactly what gets what. And by that, I mean, Mike, you probably don't know this. You can set up your internet to say, okay, all of the juice that, like 50% of all my internet bandwidth, let's say the juice that's going to make the internet work, is going to go to Zoom. And that's all it's going to do. And everything else gets the rest of the 50%.
So like a budget.
So you budget your internet. You can do that, but then you also have to let a creep into your network and let them govern that all day.
I thought we had our own creep.
We do have our own creep, but we don't have a creep down where Rob is. A creep is where you are, Mike, and a creep is where we are.
Oh, Pony, are you like monitoring my thing every day still?
I'm not watching it creepily, but you know, occasionally if I have to mess with stuff, sure.
Yes.
So you got you get capability to mess with it.
He knows when you're really on the hub all day long.
Well, let's do that for Rob too. Maybe. I mean, although
no, Rob's heading back next week, so no problem.
Oh, you're back to work.
He'll be in studio
to celebrate the spike. I'll be in studio.
Oh, you're not playing that card. You go to a liquor store every day, my friend.
How do you feel about it? Be honest. How do you really feel about it?
No, I'll be excited to see some faces again. I will not relish the commute, but you know what? I'll get back caught up on podcasting, listen to that stuff, have some time in the car, and get to be in studio. It'll be nice. It'll be good.
All right. Okay. Yep. He hates it, by the way. Yeah. I speak, Rob.
Yeah, thank you.
But that's okay. So Halloween in the Hood. Let me explain that this is the way Halloween went down with my son. First of all, I should say that we were excited because there are kids in the neighborhood, and we were pretty aware that there would probably be trick-or-treating here. Followed up by an email where the lady that runs the community here, one of the employees, she's one employee, handles like car stickers for access and that type of stuff.
She must be fun.
She's wonderful. She's lovely. And she sends out an email saying trick-or-treating begins at 6:30. In the event that you are planning to give out candy, leave your lights on. That's how you will do it.
Sure.
And for if you're not, please, if you wouldn't mind keeping your lights out for a couple of hours while there's trick-or-treating so people know. So that's fine. Then they put a sign up in the front of the community that says trick-or-treat. I'm like, oh, this is cool. We're going to finally be in an area where it's safe and we can go out and say hi to neighbors and everything's going to be great. Followed by, he gets an invite from one of his buddies who lives in another community, a much more kid-friendly community where there are kids on top of kids on top of and people on top of people. I tell Carla, no. In our community where we're riding around in a golf cart with him in the seat and he can run in and run out and he's got a mask on and then he washes his hands when he gets home and we do that, that's okay. I'm not out with going to the super dense community where it's all about managing the risk, and there's risk with everything. There's risk with trick-or-treating, but this is a lower risk. So he ends up being perfectly cool. Friday, I tell him. Then I say, hey, you know what? Let's drive around the neighborhood and see who's got Halloween decorations up.
Sure.
They'll definitely be handing out Halloween candy. And we roll out, and we see this, and he gets all excited. So that's it. It's determined that Saturday night is going to be Halloween night. We put a little decoration on the golf cart. Carly gets these little flashing orange lights. We're ready to go out, and we determine within 2 minutes that our particular street in this community is no different than Casketville across the way, where everybody's waiting to die. Nobody gives a rat's ass about children. They don't want to be bothered, and everybody's locked up tight. Overall, he had a nice evening. We got into other sections of the community where there were more children, but overall, these people down here that don't want to be bothered, and you know what? I just wish, look, you don't have to have grandma and grandpa living in the farmhouse and everybody doing everything together, but it just would be nice to have a little more community and a little more, and they're just people that, is it really in a community like ours, where you can, where many people just put a table out and said, Happy Halloween, take one.
Please take one, yeah.
And there are dozens of people that did that. Is it that much of an effort for, and the worst people of all, in my opinion, the people that have Halloween decorations on their mailbox, have a little plastic pump, and then they're locked up tight with two cars in the driveway. F you and the horse you rode in.
What's your outlook on egging those cars?
I think the community is not only insular, but it's small, and that would probably be problematic. And I'll wait to goose him with that when he's 12 or 13. But I'm not going to dwell, because you know I'm not one to dwell on the negative, all right? But my buddy, and I'll mention him by name, my buddy Mitch, who was there with his wife, Teresa, and they had Mitch had mentioned to me they want to see what Michael's wearing. And this is a phenomenal golfer. Great guy.
Yeah.
One of these New Englanders that's got that kind of voice. Just terrific guy. And really funny. And we get down to his house, gives Michael candy, checks him out, and he comes back. And Carla says, look what he got. And he's got a fast food Culver's, which is one of the fast food chains that sells that custard, a $10 gift certificate.
Winner.
Oh, that's awesome.
I swear to you. It was terrific. Made up for a lot of the people that, by the way, that, you know, we knew you were home, locked up tight, including my neighbor across the way, which was a guarantee.
Mike,
knew you were home. City, I just don't like it. I've always railed against
it. It's a different take in the city. And I think you got to give people a pass, especially with COVID involved. And this is your first trick. This is your first trick or treating in the new neighborhood. So I get that you give everybody a pass. You give everybody. You get everybody excited because you're like, it's a real neighborhood. You can trick or treat in your own neighborhood. So your son's super excited for
excited
that, right?
About
your son's excited about that. In the city, nothing has changed. I actually thought no one was going to trick or treat because you've got this whole election looming over. Every Highline store and even the CVSs are all boarded up. I'm like, this doesn't scream, hey, let's go to strangers' houses.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But I saw dozens of kids walking around the city with their costumes on, with their parents. And I don't know if they had some sort of map set up on Nextdoor who was a Halloween friendly house.
Right.
But it seemed to me that they knew right away.
Oh, you mean the Does Anyone Know a website? They ought to rename Nextdoor to Does Anyone Know a? 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 The Land of the Lazy.
And Mike, there's
an internet, you lazy fat.
There's a set tab on that. Has anybody seen my?
Has anybody seen my? Does anyone know? You know, God, I need someone to clean my house.
I thought it was free furniture. Must pick up by end of day.
I got a couple of thumbs down on Nextdoor. I might have said this. I don't know, but does anyone know a good source for firewood? And I wrote trees.
Did you really?
Yes.
Did you really?
I did.
I love that. Look what this guy wrote. Look what this guy wrote.
Look at this jackass.
You had a few. Did you hand out any candy?
No, Mike. There was an awkward back and forth with my neighbor. No. Shannon and I hid in the backyard with our solo stove lit and made some s'mores.
You were the stove.
But both of us. And we walked out to go get the s'mores, get the marshmallows and everything to just hang out with Santos in the backyard.
That's kind of cute.
And I saw my neighbors and all their kids dressed up. They have three kids. And I'm like, hey, like, Happy Halloween. And I like, that awkward Kool-Aid guy when you break through the wall and then you walk right back out.
So did you, you would strike me as the kind of guy that would like to sit on his stoop and hand out candy to the kids.
I would have, except for that Halloween 3 years ago when the hood of my car got stomped in.
You had the bad experience when somebody jumped on the hood of your car.
That's valid.
You're getting lots of free passes today,
Thank you, Oscar.
Giving you, the judge and juries are siding with the plaintiff today.
Mike, and I was the villain. I was the villain in our neighborhood. I shut everything down because, you know, I normally, like, one of my things was to hand out beers to parents as they trick-or-treated, but it's always a challenge because, you know, we had a dog, we had Linus, and an extra dog that go crazy anytime there's a knock at the door. So we shut the whole thing down, turned off our lights. And when Julia got home from work that night, she said, "Wow, I've never felt less welcome coming home." She said that everything was dark. But,
so you just didn't want to deal with it.
Didn't want to deal with it. And as I looked down the street,
No free pass for you, Rob. No free pass for you. My kids have grown up. I don't have to do it anymore. Selfish. So selfish.
Yeah, you're so jolly, too.
Well, I was jolly. I was watching The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Was it warm enough to sit outside, like in your driveway?
It was cold. It was a cool night.
It was chilly. It was definitely cold.
Right. Mm,
put the dogs in the bathroom and sit on your stoop or something. Put a parka on. Hand out candy. Great sake. Yeah. Guilty. Guilty. Thank you very much.
Villain. Villain.
Jury has spoken. That's it. That's how it goes.
Mike, the weather station said do not hand out candy.
Do not hand out. It's too cold.
Too cold.
Yeah. What are you, just sit in your basement and drink? Did you and Carrie spend time together?
Actually, what we did is one of the kids that, special needs kids that she babysits, he was really bummed out because he couldn't trick or treat. So we had him over and had some food and watched The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. So that was his Halloween.
Okay, well, now the jury has spoken again, and you've been reprieved. You've gotten a reprieve on that.
Yeah, but he was,
that was
very, very sweet. He has never seen the Disney version with Ichabod Crane, and it's so cool to watch a youngster see it for the first time.
It's animated, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's great. Narrated by Bing Crosby.
How old is the kid?
He is 17.
So he was able to handle the content then?
Yeah, yeah. He was great, great kid.
Awesome.
Max.
All right. We will take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, the holidays are here, and I know what you're thinking. I really don't feel safe walking into a store right now, but I've got a solution for you. Head over to the MikeO'MaraShow.com website. Click on the Target banner or the Walmart banner, where you can get your turkey for Thanksgiving or all your holiday gifts for Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa. And you better do it soon, or you'll be sorry. Now, who loves you, baby? Let's return to Kojak, already in progress.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, Election Day is tomorrow.
Yes.
Wow. Let that sink in. Tomorrow, it's finally over. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you have a chance to make a difference. Do you get the picture? Do you understand? Mm. Do they teach you that here? I mean, I'm serious. We have to realize that we're all created equal. Our country is founded on that principle. Politicians and billionaires, one vote. You got it, too.
That's right.
If you're sitting on the sidelines for this one, shame. Shame on you. Really, you're as powerful as anybody because it's your vote. It's your privilege. It's your duty. Make sure that America lives up to its promise of equality. Plan to vote tomorrow. Any questions? Anyone? Come on now. We all know how important it is. If you've already voted, I say congratulations. If you haven't, get out there and do it. All the information you need can be found at vote.org. That's where you go if you have any last-minute questions about whether you can and where you can and how you can. If you can, help and encourage your neighbors to get to the polls. They're important, too. Exercise your right, please. You have a voice. Make sure it's heard. Tuesday, November 3rd. That's tomorrow, Election Day. And vote because the future depends on you. And for those of you that have voted, I say salute and we thank you.
News.
News.
Boo. Say no more news. Well, we mentioned it in the beginning. Rob had a little vignette about Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
He died in his sleep on Halloween morning. He was 90 years old. There's no official cause of death, but his son said he'd been unwell for some time. And yesterday, his wife revealed that he was suffering from dementia in his final years. That's unfortunate. She said, quote, "I was with him all the time. It took its toll on him. He got his final wish to slip away without any fuss. It was no life for him. He was not able to express himself recently. He will be honored in a private funeral ceremony with a memorial to follow. Connery is most famous for being the first one to play James Bond on the big screen. That was Dr. No back in 62. He also starred in the Bond movies From Russia with Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball, You Only Live Twice, and Diamonds Are Forever. He later played Bond in the 1983 movie Never Say Never. I remember that. Remember when he came back and everybody's like, yeah, can he come back? Yeah, he could.
Of course.
Because he still had that. He still had the it factor. I was such a big fan of Sean Connery's. Based on the novel Thunderball, that was not produced by Eon Productions, which had done all 25 movies in the main Bond series. More information than we needed about Bond. Interesting fact, Connery's wife suggested the title for Never Say Never Again, because after making Diamonds Are Forever, Sean vowed never to make another Bond film. But 12 years later, he agreed to that one. Connery's other major movie roles included a great movie, if you ever want to see it, The Man Who Would Be King,
yes,
from 1975, A Bridge Too Far in 1977, Highlander in 86, The Untouchables. You got to see that one if you like Sean Connery, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. The Hunt for Red October is also on that list. Dragonheart, The Rock, Finding Forrester. He retired from acting in 2006, although he did do a few choice voiceovers after that. His role in The Untouchables landed him an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. And on a less serious note, People magazine voted him both the sexiest man alive in 1989 and the sexiest man of the century in 1999. That's why I like him. He was so damn sexy.
Mike, I was going to use this in the audio vault, but it fits so nicely here. This is Sean Connery and director Terrence Young. I think Terrence Young directed three of the early Bond movies, but there's something in here that I did not know about the character of Bond. Here's Sean Connery talking about his legendary role.
Bond. James Bond.
Nobody could believe when I did it in 1962, I think the first one was, Dr. No, that it could ever possibly be shot today. And they'll probably go on.
Originally, Cary Grant was asked to do it. And he said, yes, I'll do one, but I won't do two. I won't do a series. So then they got a hold of James Mason. And James said he'd do two, but he wouldn't do three. So they decided they'd have to go with an unknown. And there were five people who were tested. And Sean's was far away the best test.
And he took me on the trip to get our clothes and everything. And it was an eye-opener. The budget on the clothes was astronomical in relation to the film. But he was right, Terrence, because there was a look about it. And we had shoes handmade at Lobbs. And no cufflinks, special fold-back button. And I used the Windsor knot.
It would have been different if James Mason had taken the role.
Oh. It would have been a flop.
It would have been horrible.
You needed that guy. You needed that badass factor, you know? That's incredible. Lori Loughlin from Full House arrived at the Big House on Friday. I love that sentence. To start her two-month jail sentence for the college admissions scandal that she got wrapped up in last year, she and her husband cut a deal in May to plead guilty on fraud charges after they paid $500,000 to get their two daughters into the University of Southern California. Aunt Becky got 2 months in jail plus 2 years probation. Her husband got 5 months but hasn't started his jail sentence yet. She's in a low-security federal prison just outside San Francisco, and it sounds like she won't get out early, which means she'll likely spend Christmas in jail. Mm. The only way that won't happen is if there's a COVID outbreak at the jail and Christmas music. And her judge grants early release. That doesn't sound likely. Lori will be in isolation. By the way, that's L-O-R-I.
Of course it is.
We'll be in isolations for the first 2 weeks just to make sure she doesn't bring the virus with her. As far as prisons go, doesn't sound too bad, but it's still prison. She'll be in a jumpsuit and she'll also have a job like clerical work, kitchen work, or general cleaning. Wake up is 5 a.m. and lights out 9 p.m. every night. It also has some perks like exercise classes.
Nice.
No. Exercise classes, tennis courts, ping pong tables, and one TV that everyone shares.
Bet they don't watch Full House.
Seems to. She should get out right before New Year's Eve. There's that. So good luck. Good luck with you.
It was a long road, right? It was almost a year and a half.
Yeah. And then, she's going to the Big House, you know?
I thought they were going to get off. I was completely wrong.
I wonder if she'll go watch TV with the general population. You wonder about stuff like that.
No, but she will be the ping pong champ.
Very good. Thank you. I don't think I'm breaking any new ground here by saying this, but tomorrow is not your average election day. I think you know that.
True.
According to a new survey, more than half of Americans say they're expecting tomorrow to be the most stressful day of their lives. The survey, I'm not really, really ready to disagree. I'm not really, well, you don't care, Rob, but I do. I think I'm really ready
no,
to
No, but I mean, do you put it above, like, that? When you have your first child, your wedding day? I mean, that's
not stress. That's kind of anticipation.
Yeah. Okay, I suppose you're right. Stressful and anxiety.
Tomorrow
yeah.
is
yeah, perhaps you're
the
right.
most stressful day of my life.
The survey also found 59% of people say this has already been the most stressful year of their lives. I'll go along with that. And two-thirds just wish the year were over. The survey also found the top five ways people have successfully managed at least some of their stress this year. They are reading, exercise, hobbies, meditation, and cooking or baking. Got to thumbs up all of those. That's
I had a pep talk with my mom yesterday because... she's stressed as everybody is. And I said,
sure.
Look, Mom, gear yourself up for the worst. Hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. And depending on where you're looking at, and in her eyes, it would just be another 4 years. And I said, I don't want you calling me crying. I just want you to prepare now because that's the only way we've done what we can do. We can vote, right? We can tell people to vote, get out to vote, help people fill out their ballots if they need help, all that. Done.
Now I'm getting more stressed just listening to you. Oh, my God. According to a new survey, 7%, only 7% of people say they like this current system of changing the clocks once the spring, in the spring, and then again in the fall. 66% of people say they'd like to get rid of daylight savings time. So that's been, I have that story every year.
Forever.
I don't want to go on that. Forever. And now a little something. A doctor in India, was recently conned into buying Aladdin's lamp. The guys selling it faked a genie appearance, and one of them even dressed as Aladdin at one point. The doctor paid $41,600 for the lamp, then realized it was a scam. Oh, really?
Really?
The two sellers have been arrested. I don't have anything more to add to this other than the doctor, and his quote was, "It has become obvious to me that book smarts are not to be measured with street smarts, and I never was able to get my three wishes. Number one would have been to have a bit of common sense." Thank you very much. There we are.
Very true.
That's all.
Yeah.
Very
true.
That's all I have.
Well, there was another quote from the doctor. He said, yes. "I love lamp.
I love lamp. And please check out my no exclusive internet radio weather station." Anyway, that's it. We got to get out of here. Rob's coming in with the audio ball right after this on the Mike O'Mara Show as you listen to Mr. Don Henley.
There's a lot at stake this fall. The question to ask yourself, are you better off now with your football picks than you were 4 years ago?
Listen up, Bermuda boy.
There's only one clear choice, and it's on the Nikki Diamond platform.
I got your stimulus package right here, baby.
Listen this Thursday and every Thursday to the Mike O'Mara Show for Nikki's plan to help you achieve financial prosperity.
These picks are gold.
This year, the choice is simple. Football winnings in your pocket.
Nikki Diamond's about to take you to the promised land.
Listen and win. Paid for by the People for Diamond 2020.
God bless America.
Thank you, Jim Amato, and thank you, Nikki. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by winning season at MyBookie. MyBookie! Winning season means the NFL is in full swing, and it's your chance to win big. Giants playing the Buccaneers tonight, Monday
Night
Football.
Yeah, Mike, the spread right now is 12.5.
For the Bucs?
Yeah, Giants are underdogs.
I'm taking that. I was waiting. There's no sweeter feeling than watching your team win the game, or if you're a Giants fan, cover the spread, and put cash in your pocket. Double dynamite. Whether you're a first-time player, a veteran to the game, taking underdogs, or siding with the faves, the fact is, there's no better time to get in on the action. Join now using our promo code TMOS, and you can grab a free $20 wager with your first deposit to bet on anything in the sports book. That's a free $20 bet. MyBookie is giving you the chance to make your first ever winning bet, and it's on the house. Nothing beats NFL action, and absolutely nothing beats free money, so join now and take advantage. Don't even think about it. Just head over to MyBookie now and get in the game. That's winning season, baby, and right now, exclusively at MyBookie. Get in on the action and enjoy. Let's open up the audio vault for today, Monday, the day before The election day, November 2nd. Rob Spiewak, take it away.
I'm glad Kim Kardashian had a nice 40th birthday on that island. I thought that was nice that she was able to do that. But what do you give her as a gift? You know,
oh, it's tough. What do you give the woman that has everything?
Well, I saw this on Friday. Kanye gave her a hologram of her late father, Robert Kardashian. Gave her a hologram of her father.
Watch this.
Talking to her.
You're 40 and all grown up. You look beautiful, just like when you were a little girl. I watch over you and your sisters and brother and the kids every day. I am so proud of the woman that you've become, Kimberly, and all that you've accomplished. All of your hard work and all the businesses you have built are incredible. But most impressive is your commitment to become a lawyer and carry on my legacy. The most beautiful thing that I have witnessed is watching you grow your family. You married the most genius man in the whole world, Kanye West. Keep doing what you're doing, Kimberly. Don't forget to say your prayers.
It's nice, isn't it?
Who gave it to her? He did?
He did! And he made that robot say that.
He's a sick God. It was. I was actually engaged. I think that was humanly possible.
It was so sweet until the most genius man in the world, Kanye West.
Kanye, what an a-hole. God.
Meanwhile.
Probably pretty expensive to put that together, I assume.
Yeah. Well, they have the money. There was some leftover budget from the island trip. Mike, this will be a palate cleanser. When you spot a drunk woman in a tree, and I'm talking 30, 35, maybe 40 feet up.
I saw this video.
And they hire a bucket, one of those people lifting things to get her out of the tree.
It's called a cherry picker.
She looks stuck, so the man in the bucket goes up and talks to her.
You got a drunk girl in the tree. Let's go get her. Ay, ay, ay. Excuse me, ma'am. What are you doing up in this tree?
Day drinking. What are you doing?
I'm here to fix the day drinking problem and get you out of this tree.
We don't have a problem here.
And she was good looking.
She was.
She was really good looking. And she said, we don't have a problem here. No. And she was comfortable up in the tree. And I'm like, okay, go back down. And this guy's going, we got a drunk girl. You know, it just making his little viral video.
Exactly.
Not really. You know what? Did you agree that guy was dickish? The way he was handling the whole thing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. She wasn't bothering anybody.
The other thought I had, I liked the video, but I, again, suspicion. Don't you think he might have been the one that put her up there so he could make the video?
Yes. Yes.
Because how's she going to get up there?
Right now, you're right.
How's she going to get up there?
Oh, my God.
All right, let's go back to you know, this is a good theme today. Dicks in the news. Here's our next dick. David Lee Roth is a dick because he released a song for Eddie. And it is the stupidest, sloppiest song.
No. Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
He steals from at least two other songs. So you know what, David Lee Roth? There's a phrase called rest in peace. Sometimes you let them rest in peace.
Somewhere over the rainbow bar and grill.
Thanks. Sorry we couldn't hear more of it.
Well, I'm not. I thought you did a good job there. Let's close with this. Our fifth consecutive dick today. This dick is a cat. And this is actual audio of a cat looking out a window. The dog's not even in the house yet. This cat sees a dog that's being brought home to live with it and sees the dog coming up the driveway. This cat seems nice.
Really loud out here.
Terry?
I like the old man saying, or the man of the house saying, you want to close the window? It's really loud out here. I shall forever be a dog person. That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Rob, I'd appreciate you sending that along to me.
Kitty cat.
That'd be fantastic. That's it. We got to get out of here. Hey, tomorrow's the day.
Yes.
Our election special. Actually, it's going to be just like any other show. We're just going to
show
a lot of stagers.
Yeah. We're going to have the board, the Electoral College board.
Yeah.
We will have the coffee and donut station.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm sorry. That's tax day. I'm sorry.
We have the tote board here. We have the tote board here. So that'll be good.
I think perhaps we should have field reporters.
We'll
have reporters in the field. Of course. We'll have lots of people checking in. And, of course, we'll have our pollster to be named later.
Excellent.
Somebody will be our... We need Rob, pick a pollster.
Somebody
to come on the show and be our pollster.
And also last we have a... polls. Mike, we have at the high school. Frank Herzog will be handing out Anison. So...
Yes. Amen. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael Barron saying, so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmeraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire. Inside a train wreck.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
It's done, Joan. They packed your things. They're loading your car.
Well, bye.